One Verse, Five Voices. Edited by Nina Litvick and Salvador Litvick, the accidental Talmudist. And as her soul was departing, for she was dying, she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. General 35-18. Dr. Erica Rothblum, head of school, Pressman Academy of Temple Beth Am. As Rachel takes her final breaths, she names her newborn Benoni, son of my sorrow. It is a name born from her pain, a name acknowledging a story that will not end the way she hoped. And then Jacob steps in and names him Benjamin, son of my right hand, a name that looks forward, imagining the strength, blessing, and promise this child might carry into the future. Both names are preserved in our Torah. Both stories are held. Rachel's naming teaches us that we don't need to deny sorrow or pretend away difficulties. But Jacob's name reminds us that our stories don't have to end there. Even in moments of loss, there is room to choose hope, to imagine what growth or renewal might still be possible. This feels particularly meaningful as Jews right now. As we confront anti-Semitism, the trauma of October 7th, and the exhaustion of navigating politics that leaves so little room for nuance or empathy, the Benoni side of our story can feel very present. But that is not the only name we carry. Even in this difficult time, there is so much Benjamin present. We see it in Israelis rebuilding their lives, in the generosity of Jews around the world who lift each other up, and in the educators, parents, and leaders who choose hope, not because it is easy, but because it is necessary. Rabbi Abraham Lieberman, Shalhavet High School. Rachel, having a very difficult birth, realizes she might pass away. She gives Benjamin one name and Jacob gives him a different name. Why is Yaakov changing the name that his beloved Rachel has chosen for this child? We should remember that Rachel, who was childless for many years, finally has Joseph, whom she named as a prayer to merit one more child. The naming of Joseph reaches prophetic realization and this child is born. In her last few moments, she names him. Rashi comments that Benoni refers to pain as in, son of pain or sorrow. Yamin, the Hebrew word for the right side, is understood, as it is many times in Tanakh, to be a sign for vigor, power. Therefore Jacob names him, son of strength. Ramban writes that the names are indeed very close and that Yaakov only wants to clarify the name that Rachel has given him, not contradict her. Pain and strength are opposites. How can we understand Ramban's point? But if we examine these two ideas, we can see the connection. In life we can look at pain and begin to dwell on it and that would indeed incapacitate us, freeze us. It would not allow us to develop. In order to overcome pain, we need to have strength. Jacob is only refocusing Rachel's name. Pain will lead to strength. If we learn from our painful experiences, we will move on to have the power and vigor to deal with pain in the future. Neely Eisenberg. Judaic Studies Faculty, Pressman Academy. It's hard to understand how Rachel could name her child, son of my suffering, Benoni, with her dying breath. According to Ramban, 1194-1270, Jacob himself struggled to understand the name. Ramban writes, Jacob wanted to call him by the name his mother had called him, for all his children were called by the names their mothers had called them, and he thus rendered it to good and to strength. Ramban explains that the word, Oni, has the meaning of mourning in some verses, but elsewhere also has the meaning of vigor. In other words, out of Rachel's suffering came the strength that Jacob turned into the name, Benjamin. I think about this duality in relation to the name we gave our second son, Eliasaph Asher, meaning, God adds joy. My husband and I anticipated that a second child would add great joy to our lives. When we named him, we didn't know that our son had a genetic condition called Angelman syndrome that would severely impact his mental and physical abilities. As Eli turns 13 years old this January, he still can't walk, talk, or take care of even his most basic needs without help. When I think about his name against all the challenges we have faced, it feels like a cruel irony. And yet, like many individuals with Angelman syndrome, Eli always has a happy demeanor. In the face of so many difficulties, Eliasaph Asher teaches us joy with his contagious laughter and his sweetest of smiles. Eliza Lipkin, writer and educator, Maale Adamim, Israel. Rachel's path to marriage and motherhood was steeped in pain. She watched her sister Leah marry Jacob, the man she loved, and later became his second, rival wife. While Leah bore many children, Rachel remained barren. In anguish, she cried, "Give me children, otherwise I am dead." Midrashically and psychologically, she meant that without offspring, her existence had no future, she would vanish from the world. Jacob's harsh reply, "Am I in place of God?" wounded her deeply and later seared his own conscience. When Rachel finally died giving birth to her second son, naming him Ben-Oni, son of my affliction, Jacob was overwhelmed by guilt. By renaming the child Benjamin, son of my right hand, Jacob made a lifelong vow of tikkun, rectification. This was his silent answer to Rachel's earlier plea. "You said that without children, you would be dead. I failed you then by speaking harshly. I swear now, as long as this child, the last extension of your life, remains alive at my right side, you are not dead. Through him, your life continues, and I will guard it with all my strength." Thus, Benjamin became far more than Jacob's youngest son. He was the final living link to his beloved soulmate. That is why Jacob refused to let Benjamin go to Egypt. He could not risk losing the last remnant of Rachel, the one who kept her alive in this world. Denise Berger, freelance writer. There is, in some parts of the Jewish world, a radical iconoclastic view towards the Torah. The people in it are flawed. GD is flawed. GD also isn't really GD, and didn't write the Torah, people did. The stories are made up, the mitzvah are made up, GD is made up. It's sort of an ideological package deal. It's also a very human way of looking at things, an extension of our worldview as children, where goodness is equated with pleasantness and anything difficult or complex is a sign that the world is not to be trusted. But what if the complexities in the Torah are actually part of the point? What if Hashem is preparing us for the reality of life, which is anything but simple to navigate? In this parsha, Rachel is consumed with agony. The naysayers can easily jump on this moment, condemning GD's cruelty as well as Rachel seeming to lash out, naming her son after her pain. Jacob, however, does neither. Instead, he modifies the name in a way that gives positive meaning for the boy and allows himself to carry Rachel's memory. He's acknowledging his feeling without succumbing to it. If we take the cynical view, we are left with only a bitter anecdote. When we recognize divine authorship, there is guidance and wisdom way beyond what a human writer could make up. Rather than disproving GD, the messy parts of the Torah might offer the most compelling proofs that he is with us.